Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
They will be bringing a 4-2 Patriots team on the road to take on a team that is just 1-4. And you just think of the opportunity that New England has, really a soft spot of their schedule. Combined record of their next six opponents, including today, 9-20. Just imagine where this New England team could be 5-6 weeks from now if they continue on this trajectory as they come to New Orleans a week after Drake May's coming out party in Buffalo last Sunday night, and they take care of business against the Saints. Drake May, again, highly efficient, 261 yards.
We open today's edition of the Six Rings Postgame Show with the good, the bad, and the ugly from today's game. The good: the New England Patriots are 4-2, victorious on the road as 3.5-point favorites against the New Orleans Saints, a plucky upstart team if ever there were in the modern NFL. Your final score of 25-19. And oh, by the way, you got yourselves a legitimate stud, no, dare I say, a potential MVP candidate in quarterback Drake May. The bad: the New England Patriots had plenty of opportunities to put that game away early and often, seal the deal. And if anyone has any idea where their running game is, I would love to know, as I imagine the team that currently plays at one formerly Tom Brady place would love to know as well. And the ugly: the NFL has an officiating problem. They have a referee problem. They cannot figure out what the hell to do with themselves as far as penalties, officiating, and just calling games fairly and by the rules can be and do right now. And my, oh my, were the New England Patriots, what is the opposite, Andy, of beneficiary? Recipient?
No, that's the same, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of the same, yeah. Well, the New England Patriots got hosed. They got the
shafted, oh, railroaded,
I know.
Porked. Screwed.
Yeah.
Tell me when you want me to stop.
I mean, it's all applicable as far as I'm concerned. I know the world is in no mood anytime soon to say, oh, man, I really feel bad for the Patriots. New England got screwed on that one. But I got to tell you, regardless of how far in the rear view we are removed from the double dynastic run of dominance in the six Super Bowls for the Patriots, you got to admit, they got porked, hosed, screwed, blue, tattooed today by some of those atrocious calls. And the NFL has got to figure out what they're doing with these referees. But anyway, there you go, folks. 25-19, your final score today from New Orleans. The Patriots go on the road. They avoid the dreaded letdown game. It was not a trap after all. The Saints are a little tougher than advertised. And yes, Drake May is awesome, but there are certainly some things to get at, certainly some things to pick over, and a lot of stuff to analyze here. As your old pals Fitzy and Hart join you for another robust and a rousing edition of the Six Rings Postgame Show live on WEEI. We'll be with you until just around 7:30, at which point we will throw it to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football, and that should be a humdinger of a game with the Lions going into Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. We'll carry Mike Vrabel live when he steps to the podium for his postgame presser, as well as quarterback Drake May as well. We'll hear from our pal Ted Johnson later in the show, perhaps even a little visit from Megan Ottolini with her postgame notes as well. We'll have the Cars for Kids player of the game, Andy's world famous freshly served thumbs up, thumbs down, and so much more. And of course, we'll have you at 617-779-7937. All right, Hart, let's go in. Were you excited by this game because they won and they found a way to hold it? Were you kind of nonplussed because it wasn't really a great football game? It was fine. Or were you a little bit disappointed that the Patriots had a chance to deliver several knockout punches, didn't, and that's kind of that next step, that next maturation progress that we were looking for?
I'm going to expose my attention to detail here with this reaction, but I'll never be disappointed when you're playing 11 on, I'm going to say 17 football. I don't know how many freaking refs there are, six, eight. When you are facing the team on the other side of the ball, and you know I almost never do this, Fitzy. As much as I hate refs, I almost never say you got to overcome the refs, beat the refs, blah, blah. That pass interference call on Stephon Diggs that wiped out a touchdown to Pop Douglas, his second of the game, is one of the latest worst calls I've ever seen. Now, that being said, I do need to be totally objective. It's not the worst call I've seen at the Superdome, because that was the missed pass interference call against the Saints that allowed the Rams to go to the Super Bowl and face the Patriots.
On Roby Nichols. Yes, exactly.
This is the second worst call I've ever seen at the Superdome in my life. But no, I believe the word I would probably pick for myself would be content. You went, I questioned whether I could trust you. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily believe it would be easy. I don't think the Saints are as bad as we thought they were going to be coming into the season. But you went down there, you got off to a fast start, you made plays, you got the win, you overcame chances. I think bad football teams, when you get porked by the officials, look at it as a reason to, oh, here we go again. Maybe we're not as good as we think. Maybe we are going to get upset on the road, whatever. They didn't. You held it together. You have a star quarterback. You absolutely have a star quarterback. You went out and you got the win. You've won three in a row. You have winnable games on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all, I'm not going to say it's all coming together perfectly, but it's coming together in a nice recipe for this to be a really long, fun, interesting season. And as you said, maybe the best part is I think Mike Vrabel has plenty that he can coach on. There should be no big heads, because I thought Drake May started to play kind of poorly in the second half. I thought he was flirting with the idea of throwing an interception that would have lost the game.
You did win the turnover battle 1-0, which was huge.
Yeah, you did. But you couldn't run the ball the length of Bill Belichick's blank, as he once said famously. And you,
list of excuses thought, as to why UNC isn't playing well?
Yes, and I thought Drake started to, by the way, everybody noticed that UNC detailed virtually every positive play that Drake May and the Patriots made all day long. They were tweeting out a storm all day long. You're too much overreaction.
Bright, shiny observations over here, everybody.
Yep. But no, so there's things that Mike Vrabel will coach out of them. Penalties still suck, costly penalties, dumb penalties, you know, the bad snap on fourth down. There's definitely plays they'd, quote, like to have back, but I will be content with and not that they care about this. You went on the road, you covered,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you did. You covered. It was 3.5 and you squeaked by with a sixer.
So you cover. You get the win. Drake May was borderline perfect. You get off to a fast start. Like, all of those things are positives for a team that you're not the Bills. You're not the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Ravens. You didn't come into this season as a...
But we beat the Bills last Sunday.
You did. You're still not as good. But you didn't come into this season with Super Bowl aspirations. You came into this season trying to prove you've changed your culture, mm-hmm. that your new coach is the right coach, mm-hmm. that your quarterback is a star in the making. Mm-hmm. All of those things... look
true,
like they're well
the
on
the way
right?
Season, right?
Absolutely. So this season is trending in a really nice direction. So I have nothing but optimism coming out of this game. I don't know. I really don't know what you'd be upset about or disappointed with. I mean, I know the things, like the running game. You can't run the ball.
No, you can't. You cannot run the ball. That is a truth that we all hold self-evident.
And Mike Vrabel to the podium?
Yes, sir.
What impressed you about Drake's performance?
Well, just kept battling. You know, none of it was perfect today, and you know, give them a lot of credit. They competed, they answered, but you know, we extended plays and made some huge plays down the field, and you know, glimpses of good football. And you know, we'll have to clean up a lot of things, but certainly great to go on a road and be able to get a win.
What was your understanding of the offensive pass interference call?
I don't really have much explanation. You know, they see something, and
you know, we'll continue to play aggressive and, you know, have to clean some of the penalties up. But, you know, those live ball fouls that we talked about, you know, in that situation, we want to be really aggressive. We're taking a shot, long yardage, and, you know, we got a great punt, you know, from Bryce after that. So we'll remain aggressive, and I want our players to be competitive, and, you know, certainly that was what they felt like they saw. I think he factored and certainly came up huge at the end. You know, I think he's just gotten better and just, like, his demeanor, never too up, never too down, and just, you know, sometimes the ball finds him and he makes the plays, and when it doesn't, he, you know, just kind of understands that it just wasn't his snap. And then to be there at the end there to take a good hit and score, and then to come up with a huge play there at the end, it really, you know, went in there and won the game for us on a third down. So I think you see the confidence that Drake has with him, his play strength, and his ability to go frame the football in a big situation. So I hope he can enjoy this for a few minutes with his family and anybody that was down around here, and just a big play for him.
Two replay reviews challenges helped you seal the win. First the fumble, and then having him move inbounds allowed you to just take 3 days. Were you confident ahead of time on both of those?
I don't think you ever really know nowadays. I really don't. Shetch does a fantastic job, and, you know, just trying to figure it out, how they're going to see it. Sometimes they see it the way we do, sometimes they don't. And just trying to be as smart as we possibly can. And we felt like, you know, those were plays that could help us.
Mike, you mentioned having some things to clean up. Any early thoughts on why the running game didn't get going?
Probably one guy away, like always. but had some positive runs, and we'll keep practicing it, and we'll keep working it.
Mike, what does it say about Drake's maturation and your confidence in that? With the game on the line there, that 3rd and 11, obvious passing situation, you guys are comfortable with the ball as a ball?
Yeah. I mean, the whole, you know, being the protection, the operation, and him knowing where he wants to go with it, and that timing, and, you know, putting it in a spot where KB could make a play.
Like, how much is that a teachable win? You know, the young team getting out of here with a win, plenty to work on, but just finding a way to get the job done.
It's better than an old team getting out of here with a loss, I would say. But, you know, we will never not enjoy and embrace winning in this league. But I do think that guys are very aware of the fact that it can be better, and that it will have to be better the more that we go along here and play. So I think that's a good sign that they know that there's some plays that we left out there, that we could have played better. But, you know, to do that on the road and be able to end it with the ball offensively and in victory formation is, you know, fun.
You said all along that, you know, sometimes the ball finds you. You said earlier about Booty. A game like this from Kayshawn and DeMario Douglas, be proof of that, these wide receivers, that they don't get frustrated, the ball will eventually.
And I think that, you know, we've talked about it. And some days it's like, well, this guy only played this, or he didn't have any snaps. But, you know, there's a lot of things that go into offense that, you know, a lot of us that aren't going to see or show up. Some of the dirty work and some of the clear out routes, or, you know, guys finishing on the third level to help guys gain some extra yards. And I think it's just a testament to these guys that understand, like, when I get my opportunity, I'm going to make the most of it. And we need as many of those guys as we can possibly get in all three phases. Great. Great. He's one of our captains. He's team leader. You know, very comfortable with him back there. He's challenged. You know, he challenges. And, you know, most of the time those matchups are a bigger player. But, you know, him being able to go up there, contest the catches, get some PBUs, being able to hammer the ball out, whether that was Christian or Woods there at the end. You know, that was another one that was probably close to being challenged, but looking at that, where the distance that we were going to gain getting the ball back, you know, they did us a favor there with the punt, but that was probably another close one. You know, disappointed in getting three points on the goal line, and, you know, those are the types of things that'll have to improve, and, you know, we'll have to
make sure that we're not beating ourselves down there and that we score, you know, when we do that and get the ball down to the 1 yard line.
Mike, I know early in the season you named a lot of game captains. Did you name one today and we just missed it, or was there someone who was?
He didn't go out. Kyrus Tonga was nervous, maybe. I'm not sure to go out there, but you know, you can only take six out there, and I'm not sure. I don't know how many guys are going to go. I usually just talk to Hunter or one or two guys that I know are going to go out there. But, you know, it was Kyrus, and he does a lot of the dirty work for us on defense and really enjoyed being around him since the time that we signed him. Thank you, guys. Safe travels home.
That was Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel at the podium in victory following a 25-19 win against the Saints. I'm sure Mike Vrabel, the person, would love to tell us what he thought of the officiating on the field today, Andy, as well as most specifically those two, one more egregious than the other, offensive pass interference calls against Stephon Diggs. Mike Vrabel, the head coach who understands how the league works and what those FedEx envelopes look like and how much they can cost, wisely avoiding the criticism of the referees. But boy, oh boy, would I pay a couple bucks to hear exactly what he thought of the officiating today.
Well, it's so funny because he has subtly bitched about the officiating almost every week. Anytime the penalty conversation has come up, he's kind of pushed back and said there's right. Some calls. Oh, I need to get clarification. This one, he knows I can't even, don't even tiptoe in that direction because there's a third rail that you're right. Leave the fines to guys like Brian Daboll, who's going to get a significant fine for the Jackson Dart incident in the med tent, or even the Jonathan Gannon thing. Like, you know what? Keep your money, Mike Vrabel. Enjoy your life in the seaport with a little extra coin in your pocket and let us bitch about it. We're more than willing to carry your water for you, and we won't get fined.
Drake May should be coming up to the podium if previous weeks are any indication, and we will hear from him. Oh, as a matter of fact, here he is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Dang, Grady. No, shoot, I think it's huge. Anytime, coach just said, you got to celebrate, you know, winning this league, no matter how it is, no matter how you know, much we could have played better and how much we left out on the plate. But, you know, the Saints are a good team. They got some good players. And, you know, they played hard, and it was tough playing here at home, at their place. So just proud of the guys for coming out with a win. And good to get out of here and get on next week.
Drake, what does it mean to you that, you know, with the game on the line there, 3rd and 11, obvious passing situation, the same thing to do is just hand it off, but they put the ball in your hands and they trust you'll make the right decision and put the team in a position.
Yeah, it's just about making good decisions. I think it's just trying to prove it over and over again. You'll be consistent in doing that and, you know, knowing to be smart with the football. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, in that situation is try to, you know, get a first down, safe throw, you know, to the sideline, and what a play by Booty. You know, it felt right, you know, being back home for him. So,
Drake, you said in the offseason when you showed up, tired of losing football games, won 3 in a row now, 2 on the road. What's it feel like now to be leading the team? It feels like you've become one of the leaders here in Diggs. You see him working the sideline, with Kayshawn showing up big on some of the catches there, just spreading the ball around.
Yeah, we got more work to do. You know, I think that's the big thing, but it feels good getting, you know, in the win column consistently. You know, that's 3 in a row, and we got to keep going and building on it. We're on the road again, but no, it feels good to win, and it feels good to, you know, win on the road. It's always nice to win on the road, and you know, like I said, just trying to step up leadership wise, and you know, defense played, you know, covered our butts in the second half. They played their butts off.
What did you see on the OPI?
I wasn't sure. I think on the ground. I thought just try to give him a chance. You know, I thought, you know, that and the I think the other one was the off. You know, PI with Pop's second touchdown. I'm not sure what the case was, but yeah, just unfortunate. You know, I think that stuff happens. I think Steph maybe gave him a little something, but it was on the ground, couldn't really see.
Drake,
Kirk, just get the deep passing game going a little bit today.
Yeah, we had some chances again. I got to, you know, give Mac ball on the long third down and have some more chances to push the ball down the field. So, yeah, I think just being diverse and being, you know, able to do a lot of different things, you know, kind of hit them short and make them come up, and then you can hit some deep ones. So it was good to hit some deep shots, and those guys you know, made some great plays.
Drake, you mentioned the OPI and the nullified punt touchdown. How significant was it to still come out of that drive and move the touchdown? What did you see on the site of Tayshaun moving up and running that ball to
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was huge. You know, it was a really late call. We were almost on the sideline. I was about to sit down. But I think just coming back and battling and, you know, picking up a, you know, a couple, you know, consistent drives in the first half. And then, you know, Booty with a great play, you know, in the back of the end zone, just trying to give him a chance on one-on-one. You know, one-on-one is open in this league, and you got to know that. And, you know, we left some out there coming out of the half in the second half, first drive. So that was a bummer, but just got to keep going.
You mentioned Tayshaun briefly, but him coming back here, you know,
Yeah, you know, offensively, him and Will, it was cool, you know, seeing them, you know, do their thing, and, you know, big ovation. I saw Will walking off the field with some cheers, so that was cool to see, and, you know, it was special coming home. You know, I haven't been back to Charlotte yet, but it's always special coming home, you know, with so much memories. I think Will said to me earlier this week he was there for he said Steph broke his heart on the Minneapolis Miracle or whatever down the sideline, so it was cool to you know, get a win for them.
Patriots have been a team that's always traveled well with fans. To leave the field in a road stadium and you have a large number of fans there that you're paying for the locker, what does it mean?
Yeah, that's sweet. You know, I probably need to give them some more some energy to pump them up, but it's awesome seeing how much, you know, how well we travel, how many fans come out to the games, you know, as it should be. You know, it's one, I think it's the best sports city in the world, with Boston. So, you know, we expect to travel well, and we'll finally give them something to travel for.
Drake, was there any part of you guys that wanted to go out there and prove that last week against Buffalo wasn't just a one-off?
No, we just want to keep, you know, build momentum. I think that's the biggest thing. Kind of week to week, and don't just show up and kind of linger in on last week's big win and let this one come beat you. So I think that was huge to get a win here, and we got to keep going and keep building them.
How much is the teaching final session with what you guys are doing in the goal line situation where you have some problems with the running game? How much is it get a win, but also there's some teachable?
Yeah. You know, can't take delay a game. That's a huge 4-point swing. Just mad at myself. You know, I usually do a good job of watching the clock. Just can't have that. And then, other than that, just kind of, you know, it's a lot of 300-pound men up there within 2 yards. It's hard to get 2 yards. So, just trying to get the big guys going, and they're playing their butts off. So, it's almost tough that when you get down there, the biggest plays are the ones, you know, with them at the end.
Last year, the team won four games. Here we are, sitting, you know, going into next week, already four wins. Sort of, what is your thought on the early process?
Just go get win number five. That's my only thought. You know, I think last year's in the past, and just trying to keep building and hopefully, you know, just keep showing up every week and, you know, being a tough team to play on the road and winning at home is what we're trying to build. So I think we're on the way to that. Thank you, guys.
Not to be lost in the discussion as to why and or how the Patriots could or should have won by more points, what could have gone wrong late in the game, and just what are these referees thinking, period, is the fact that, yes, as Drake May just pointed out, goal number one right now is to go and get five, and that triggered an alarm in my head. Oh, wait a second. I just remembered something. The New England Patriots, 6 games into the 2025 season, matched their win total for both the 2023 and 2024 seasons. And you're right to point out, the same way that I point out, the Pats turned the ball over 6 times against Pittsburgh, even though the stat sheet only says 5 because they turned it over on downs once. You're correct to point out, Andy, that in 2024, yes, it says they won 4 games. They really only won 3.
Yep.
I mean, because they shouldn't have won that final game. And any competent coach or anybody within their wits would have found a way to out-terrible Buffalo in a game that would have secured you the first overall draft pick. Be that as it may, as they like to say in the industry, the fact that the Patriots are 4-2, let's calibrate, like, you know, they probably should have come out of September 3-1. Everybody expected them to lose to Buffalo, and the hopes were that they would beat New Orleans. So for anybody that has this team at around near 500 or into double-digit wins territory, I know there's 11 games to go, and I don't want to start, you know, planning duck boat parades or clearing out playoff paths and weekend schedules in January. Right now, the Pats are actually on a very impressive track, holding on for the win today, and more importantly, developing the kind of confidence you need to stack dubs in the league. It's a win on the road, and it's a win with when expectations were heightened significantly following the huge upset last Sunday night in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm acknowledging the path. There's a path to the postseason for this team. I know it's only October.
Are we recording this, Zach? I just want to make sure. Is this for posterity? We have this?
We do have this, yes.
Okay, we have this. Okay.
Right, I can only be honest. I've gotten very annoyed in past Novembers when people were talking about paths for a football team that I thought had no shot of getting to or competing in the postseason. This is a team that has a shot. They should get better. As you know, Mike Vrabel had a snarky answer to Dan Roach's question, like, how big is it for a young football team to go on the road down here and win this, leave with a win? And he's like, well, it's better than an old football team leaving with a loss. Like, this is a young football team that just got a nice win
on the
road.
That was kind of a great answer, I got to be honest.
It was. And, like, he doesn't want to get too high. And we've talked about this. I think the way Mike Vrabel treats Drake May gives you an insight. He doesn't give him game balls. He doesn't, you know, throw bouquets his way all that often. Why? Because I think he knows the kid can be great, and he wants him to earn it. And he wants to kind of reserve the real high praise for when he deserves it. I think he's starting to feel that way about his football team. I think you're going to see him start to be a little bit more overly critical. Like, he was talking about different things he'll coach from this game, and that it's good that his players leave this game saying, yeah, but we could have done this, we should have done this, this could have been better. When they all are doing that, and instead of looking to celebrate minor victories along the way, they're looking at a bigger picture down the road, I think that's a really good sign. And I think they're right. They should. That's what I'm going to do. I think this is a team that should now compete for a playoff spot. My one concern, is the concern that Ted Johnson has had all along, as he has sort of ebbed and flowed with his positivity. Mm-hmm. We had some scares today. Marcus Jones, Harold Landry. Like, there were guys that were down that you're like, oh, yeah, they can't. They need him to get up.
Carlton Davis once again. I think it's almost not a Patriots game in 2025 without Carlton Davis having an injury scare.
And I thought Harold Landry was done for the year. When I saw the video of his leg, ankle, knee bending in a weird way sideways, I was like, oh, he's toast.
I thought he was done-zo.
And I think they said he was in there for like 6 minutes. They wanted to put a brace on him. He's like, nope, I'm going to go back out there and play. And Zach Kaur was like, cool, let's go do this. That's my one thing, though. You even got a scare pregame when there was an illness for Milton Williams. I do think, like so many teams, and this doesn't make them unique, but I think they are thinner than the average NFL team, and they can't afford to have any key injuries.
We expressed in the preseason that one of our key concerns about this team was depth, especially after going to some of the training camp practices, the joint practices as well. Hey, the starters look really good. Hey, I think they got some dudes out there. Oh, there's no dudes behind the dudes. So if dude number one gets hurt, dude number two, who's supposed to take his spot, ain't that great. And there are not a lot of other positions where, let's say, for example, Marcus Jones, who is your number one slot and or nickel cornerback. Yeah, he can bump to the outside if you need him to, because this guy is blossoming into a legit NFL. I'm not going to say star, but a damn good football player in front of our eyes in his fourth season in the NFL. He's excellent. He is really,
he also
really
plays
good.
Too physical for his size sometimes, in my opinion, and that's going to make it harder and harder. The more hits you take, the more times you are making a great play. He made that great play. Then he ends up parallel to the ground and slams to the ground. The more he does that, the more he's taking on a receiver on the sideline with a shoulder instead of kind of diving at his legs that like others do, the more jeopardy he puts himself in. And he's in a list of players like, you don't have a backup for him. When it comes to slot corner and punt return, you don't have a backup. You don't have a backup for him. Harold Landry, you don't have enough pass rushers, edge guys as it is.
Keon White was inactive again today. What is going on with him?
I don't know, but he's just not that good. I've given up on him.
Somebody who can rush the passer as well.
You sure about that? He can line up in that position, and you can tell him what you want him to do.
Okay, he looks like he should be really good at doing that job.
Yes, he does. I'm just not sure he ever really pays off, save for that one stupid game a year ago where he had 3.5 sacks, whatever the hell it was. The guy's been on a freaking milk carton for like a year and a half now. I've given up on him. But, which, To be fair, I gave up on Pop Douglas, and he made a couple big plays today. The history
won't
show.
I should have had 150 receiving yards and two touchdowns. BT Dubs, what was up with the reemergence of Pop Douglas today? How come? Was it just that the Saints listened to the Six Rings postgame show and WEEI Afternoons and said, oh, this guy stinks. Even the hosts up there gave up on him. We don't have to cover him. We're not going to worry about this little guy.
Well, it was weird. And so the game plan, we were told about the Saints. They dink and dunk on offense, and they try to force you into dinking and dunking on defense. And the game started with them hitting a 53-yard pass play over Kyle Duggar, and then the game started for the Patriots hitting a bomb to Pop Douglas. And I'm like, none of this played out the way anyone said it would. I mean, I guess, you know, you got to go counter to your scouting reports and try to, you know, change things up, be different. But the game really played out quite differently in a lot of ways than I expected it to. But, yeah, I don't know. Pop Douglas, if he can be a playmaker, and I told you all along, part of the reason I thought he could be so good was that he did have more big play ability than some of the traditional Patriot slot guys.
Maybe they were using him incorrectly, and maybe part of this...
Or maybe it's one game, and let's end, and maybe it's because you got a great quarterback who kind of moved around.
He's got an arm, he can roam, and he can run and gun and sling it and fling it. And also, maybe as Charles Davis and Spiro Ditas pointed out during the broadcast... the safety play from the Saints was nothing you would want to write home about or show at the safety training academy. Like, don't tell your son to watch tape of the Saints' defensive effort today.
No, and I also won't tell him to watch Kyle Duggar trying to cover Chris Olave on that first play. But then I'm like, hey, Zach Core, hardcore, love you, mean it. But why is Kyle Duggar lined up one-on-one on the outside with Chris Olave? I don't think
their
I like that matchup.
Best receiver.
Yeah, that doesn't seem... And then on the very next play, you had their tight end one-on-one with Christian Gonzalez. I'm like, how come things are seemingly inverted? Why don't we go ahead and Olave?
I'm expecting a big running day with some short, concise passes to chew clock and eat up an inferior opponent. Instead, I got the Patriots barely possessing the ball. It felt like... I don't know what the ultimate time of possession was. We can effort that from stats research and beyond. But they couldn't hold on to the ball for any long sustained drives. Everything was a long pass to the 6-point house today. I thought the running game would get going.
Because Drake May suddenly is throwing perfect passes when the ball travels more than like 15
yards.
He's
lethal. Exactly.
Holy crapoli.
And then meanwhile, I thought the Saints were just going to do like a little run here, a little run there, but you can't really run against the Pats. They didn't try to expose the deeper part of the Patriots secondary. There were not a lot of long shots and bombs from the Saints, but they can move the ball in a lot of different ways. I was impressed with the variety of play calls from first year head coach Kellen Moore, and also Spencer Rattler. Guy doesn't suck.
No, he does not suck, and he took care of the football. There were a couple times I thought he was in position. There was even one, was it right at the end of the second quarter maybe? I thought for sure he was going to try to do the Mac Jones thing and throw it across the field, only this time from left to right, and he started to pump and turn, and then he was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. I'll just go down here. He's taking care of the football, and that's part of why they're giving themselves a chance to win. If you don't, a bad team usually turns the ball over a lot. They usually kind of go hand in hand. And they have a bad record, but I don't think they're quite as bad as their record. And when they just throw the ball to Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara short, they got a chance to move the ball down the field, to matriculate down the field with little 6, 7, 8 yard passes. I'm starting to see, we talked about it last week, I'm starting to see why all their guys average less than 10 yards a catch. Chris Olave is catching swing passes out of the backfield.
And the dude was Mr. Deep Pass Threat in the days of Justin Fields and Olave at Ohio State. And now all of a sudden he's a possession receiver.
He's a possession receiver. He also had a strange catch. He ran a crosser. Then he looked like a dog, just hopped up in the air for no reason. I don't know if he saw a ghost, thought somebody was diving at his legs, but a strange catch. But no, they have some talent on that side of the ball. But you did what you're supposed to do. You went to their house, jumped on him, right? Made some plays early. I'm a little disappointed you couldn't, you know, this is where we get to the disappointment side of things. I'm a little disappointed Drake May said it there. You know, the defense kind of helped us out in the second half because you couldn't keep it going. You couldn't put them away. But I'll take the victory. As Dan Roach said, a young team leaving New Orleans with a nice road victory where they made some mistakes. There's some things they can clean up, but 4-2, 3 wins in a row, and, you know, first couple weeks, 3-week span. You lose to the Raiders and you lose to the Steelers, and everybody's like, oh, are we needing to adjust our win predictions downward? Is this team not as good as we thought they were? Since then, they've turned a corner, and they're going in the right direction. And the win totals, we mentioned it, even in Vegas, the win totals are being adjusted upwards, in part to their success, but also in part to, I think, people looking ahead on the schedule, like Titans? Kind of like the Patriots in that one. Like, there's
Browns.
Winnable games.
Browns, I like the. That's going to be a challenge.
I'm intrigued by that Browns game. I'm intrigued by that defense going up against this offense, this young offensive line. There's still some room for concerns there. And I think you'll have to play that one a little tighter. I'm not sure you're going to find yourself hitting a lot of 50-yard passes in that one the way you're hitting a lot of 50-yard passes in this one. Some of them even counted.
the ones that counted and weren't called back. 617-779-7937. We see your calls lining up. We will get to you on the other side. We have to take our first break. When we come back, we'll get into some of the pregame notes and expectations that we had heading into this game as well. And we'll play a little game later on in this edition of the Six Rings postgame show of better than expected, as expected, or less than expected. It'll involve the Patriots, it'll involve the Saints, it'll involve players, it'll involve schemes, it'll involve units. You name it, we'll discuss it. We'll hopefully hear from Megan Ottolini and our pal Ted Johnson from WEEI Afternoons in the show. We'll go around the league. We'll have the thumbs up, thumbs down, and a quick preview of next week's game, which is, of course, against the Tennessee Titans. It'll be a reunion, revenge, vendetta match for Mike Vrabel in Nashville. But first, we still have to keep processing this 25-19 win against the Saints. You got Hart, you got Fitzy, and we got you till after 7 here on the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Patriots playing with two timeouts. We go back a couple of plays. Just a monster play on third down to get the first. Potentially leave enough time for the Saints to get it back. But now the Patriots threatening. May takes his shot down the field. It's Booty. Touchdown. There is a late flag thrown right at the end of the play after Booty had crossed the goal line. If it sticks, it's a 29-yard touchdown completion.
Well, you can throw me into the lot of people who thought that perhaps this would be the week that Stephon Diggs would finally get in the six-point house as a member of the New England Patriots. Did not have an anytime Pop Douglas touchdown on the radar. Did not have a double anytime touchdown on the map, the grid, or the app for Kayshawn Boutte, but I probably should have, and or maybe Andy, anyone else on the show, or you guys, because it was a little bit of a homecoming for him. Now, I know he's not from Nawlins proper, or the downtown area, if you will, but he is a native Louisianan, he as well as Will Campbell, both graduates of Louisiana State University. So I know this was a big one for him. I know this was the kind of game where they wanted to show up and show out. And Kayshawn Boutte, it had been a while. I think it had been since the first week, Andy, that he had had a game of such significant impact. And he was dynamite today. That first touchdown, I thought perhaps, since, of course, the referees seemed to have money on the Saints, or so we jest, I thought perhaps that when he and Kool-Aid McKinstry were wrestling for the ball as he went down in the back of the end zone, clearly he possessed it, but just because McKinstry came up with the ball and started claiming that the ball was his, I was thinking perhaps maybe, just maybe, that they were going to overturn the call and they were going to give it to the Saints and say, oh, he wrestled the ball away from him. What a play by the Saints defense. But Booty was the bigger, stronger man in that play. Had himself a hell of a day.
Absolutely. And he's made key plays along the way, just not a ton of them in any, you know, one mm-hmm. game. He had that play last week in the sort of the hole shot between the cover two, the corner, and the safety. But I think it's quite clear, and I think maybe even more so, I guess differently, but more so than Diggs, contested catch situations, certain situations, Booty is his guy for Drake May. You know, those sideline, back shoulder kind of comeback throws on the sideline for first downs like he had late in the game there. He trusts him. You know, as he said in his press conference, Drake May said, you know, one-on-one, you're open in this league. Like, he believes one-on-one, I'm throwing it to Kayshon Booty. I saw some comments on the Twitter, Kayshon Booty talking about contested catches, and I know we all have some PTSD from contested catch talk from Devontae Parker, but this is a young guy that's actually good at contested catches. They are 50-50 or better balls for Kayshon Booty, and I think that relationship, those two relationships, suddenly you have the Diggs rapport and the Booty rapport. Like, it's not just Drake May. There's guys that are consistently, you know, what comes first, the chicken and the egg, I guess. Like, does the quarterback give them a chance to make plays and they take the opportunity, or they take, you know, the opportunity, make some plays, and that makes the quarterback look better? I don't really care. You're developing a passing game. You look like a 2025 NFL team. You got a quarterback that can move around a little bit and then kind of flick the ball to a guy he trusts in the end zone for a touchdown. And, like, that's fun football. This is as enjoyable a football team as they've had, and I'm going further than 21. I don't even know when the last time I enjoyed watching Patriots football as much as this.
Probably not 2018, because don't forget that season was such an up and down affair. They opened strong and then they dipped for a while, and we all thought, oh boy, this team is, Tom Brady could be leaving town soon. Is Gronk,
but what else did they do? They followed 46 to the Super Bowl, baby. Follow 46 to the promised land, baby. So you're right. The last time that they were this fun to watch was James Devlin leading the way to success, and then you had a bunch of crap for a long time. They are a fun flipping football team again.
Yeah, and there's a lot more fun to be had if A, consistency is developed and they're able to do what they did today time and again, week in and week out, and God forbid if they find the running game as well. Your leading rusher on the day, as we look at the box score and the 25-19 win for the New England Patriots, was, who do you guess?
Drake May.
With 9 carries for a whopping 28 yards, Drake May was your leading rusher for the New England Patriots again. Andy, I cannot stress this enough. We'll get into this a little bit more later on the postgame show. He cannot be responsible. He had 261 yards passing, 28 on the ground, so he had 289 of the team's 334 yards. I'm sorry, it is not sustainable for your quarterback to be responsible for over 85% of your team's total offense.
But are you sure?
As it was, he was in the 70s, then the upper 70s.
And did I think he get beat up
into this game? What's that?
Did he take any hits you didn't like? Did he get beat up? I thought today he was the centerpiece, but in a way that is sustainable. Like, a lot of teams point to 30 carries. Remember, Rex Ryan used to be big. We get 30 carries, we're going to win the football game. They got 31 carries today. Now, they were not very productive. They had 73 yards on those 30 carries, and Ramondre Stevenson was losing yards in the fourth quarter. They were giving him first down runs, and it was like, -1, -2. They felt like kneel downs. You know how quarterbacks get screwed when they kneel down? That's what Ramondre felt like in the fourth quarter. But I didn't feel like he was in harm's way, and it's like, wow, this is not, you can't ask. I think Drake May, as your star / soon to be superstar quarterback, and as much as we like to mock, or you don't, I do. As I like to mock the aggregators of the world, the ML footballs and these jack wagons that like to get way ahead of themselves. They were the ones, for example, that said Kayshon Booty after week one was on pace for 1,700 yards and 17 touchdowns. Stupid. One of the dumbest posts I've ever seen. And there's lots of those. But right
if that
now,
is not engage bait, I don't know what is.
You know what, though? Engage bait right now. Who's playing the quarterback position in the National Football League at a higher level than Drake May over the last month? Consistency-wise, for a month, it's a small sample. a month. It's only four games, and I get that.
It's actually a pretty good. It's not two games. It's a month, and it considering there's only six games into the season, that's a reasonable enough sample size to start casting judgment and doling out opinions.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, is it sustainable? I don't know, because he's never done it before. It's not like you have the track record of a Joe Burrow or of a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen or all these guys that have done it for 4, 5, 6 years. But right now, he's among the best quarterbacks on the planet. That's inarguable. Drake May, right now, for this month of football, is among the truly elite quarterbacks on the planet. And this was start number 18, Fitzy?
I was just going to say, if we're going to follow the math that we have been adhering to on the post-game show and in the afternoons, this was technically the first start of his second season in the NFL because it was start 18 for him in the NFL. His deep ball was lethal. His pocket presence and maneuverability is still absolutely tremendous. Plenty of things that he'd love to tell you that he needs to clean up. Plenty of things the offense needs to work on. But overall, very, very, very impressive. And I'd love to get into the postgame show later because we got plenty of time to chew on this. I don't think anyone is playing the quarterback position better than him. And I dare say, I don't believe this is Hot Take City population, you or me, that he could be a legitimate MVP candidate right now because of what he's doing a solo for his football team. Let's grab a quick call, Andy, before we get to the 5 o'clock hour, 617-779-7937. We go to Drake May's home state, the home state of Drake 10 for North Carolina. Jay is on the postgame show. Hi, Jay. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Let me shut off my speaker.
Okay.
All right. Wanted to ask you.
Sure.
I think Drake May's coming around quite nicely, but the offensive line, I've been on their case to give him more time. How do you feel about the offensive line? Are they doing their job?
I think they're doing their job at a middling level, and I think when you have two young players on the left side, that's probably good enough and all you could ask for right now. I think he has to make plays with his legs. That's part of what he's forced into right now is moving around.
You know, what I would like to see is Drake May being allowed to audibleize at the line. That's giving the quarterback a little bit of heads up that he's doing a great job. Looking over the situation and saying, I don't like the call that Josh Daniels gave me and I'm going to change it. I'd like to give him that opportunity. I think he's earned it.
Okay, Jay, thanks for the call.
Buddy. Appreciate it.
I think he's earned it, and I think he's getting it. I think you're seeing him audible at times into and out of run plays and looks and different things. Now, how wide that goes, I have no idea.
There is one. Now, there was a play call in the first half. It was 3rd and 7, and ultimately, I don't remember if they ended up with the field goal or if they had to punt away, but it was 3rd and 7. I think they ended up with a field goal. They punted away. And on 3rd and 7, on 2nd and 7, Drake has been absolutely dealing. And it was 3rd and 7. They ran the ball. And then on 4th down, they didn't get a field goal. They
snap.
Went field goal range. They could have gone for a 52-yarder. There was the Bradbury snap that I'm not sure if it was a terrible snap or if Drake
it was
just
terrible.
Didn't see
it. No. It was terrible. The only thing it was so bad at
How
such
bad
a weird,
was it?
It, well, it was at such a weird angle. It made me think he was trying to angle it, and there was some, I don't know. It was horrific. It was offline. Yeah. It was like a diagonal snap. But, yes, there was a play call there that I thought, the reason I thought they ran it on 3rd and 7 is because they were going for it either way on 4th and whatever, and they figured if we get 3 yards, now it's 4th and 4. If we get 4 yards, 4th and 3 kind of situation, and maybe we catch them. It's a passing down, so maybe we catch them, and we actually just pick up the yardage, hit a big play here. I think that was sort of the mentality there. But, you know, it's a question we can ask Drake tomorrow on WEEI Afternoons when we talk to him. How much leeway does he have at the line of scrimmage in terms of audibles and things of that nature? If we're going to nitpick play calling real quick for Josh McDaniels.
Go ahead, because that third and seven run was the one that really put a burr in my saddle.
He fell in love with the fake hitch, then fake handoff, or sometimes handoff, where it was the pump fake, spin around. It was slow. The first one was terrible. Ramondre almost fumbled because he got hit the second he had the ball in the backfield. Then they actually picked up, I think, a few yards on one of them. Then it turned into a pass play over the middle. It seemed like something they drew up for this week, and I would like to erase it for next week. So let's just move on from that one. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, I don't understand why they. That's one of those things where Josh gets a measure too cute, and those delayed handoffs, the misdirections. He turns around, wants to hand it one way, pretends to hand it the other, then turns around and looks for a pass. It's oftentimes not there, and it just...
Yep.
Well, it kind of sometimes... I understand what he's looking for. He's looking for the confusion off the misdirection and the quick strike, but a lot of times it derails the momentum of the offense. But, yeah, again, we're picking nits because that's what we do when you get the time on a postgame show. Patriots 25, Saints 19. That wraps up our number one here of the Six Rings postgame show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.